All right. Well, this morning's message is basically titled, We Are the Forerunners. And that'll make sense as we go along. If you'll be turning in your scriptures to Isaiah 40, we'll give a little background and introduction here. Last week, you'll remember we were studying in the book of Habakkuk. And his cry, his prayer was, How long, O Lord? He was perplexed, if you will, how God can let sin go unjudged. You know, in his tribe, his community, his world, his nation, his society, there were people that were living in sin. And yet they knew the word of God. They knew the commandment. They were under the Mosaic law at that point in time. And he asked God, how long? And part of the reason that Habakkuk was asking that is he knew of the prophecies of earlier prophets, such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, Micah and Daniel, who all prophesied about this coming Messiah. And he asked, How long, O Lord, before this Messiah comes? This was to be the king. To Israel was going to then, they had many promises from God, and they, as a society, as a nation, things were going to be different. And they all looked forward to that. The Jews believed that the Messiah would be their deliverer. Remember, they had come out of slavery. And they, it seems as a nation, they were always living in the future, looking towards something, looking especially towards the coming of the Messiah. Well, let's look at Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. It reads, A voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is a prophecy. As we come into the Christmas season, I think a lot of times we lose sight of, we lose focus of how this event, this day where Jesus was born, was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. And it was not just a random event. It was not patchwork. It was not God saying, All right, Jesus, Holy Spirit, look down. Look at what a mess the earth is in. Look how bad these humans are being. Jesus, you go down there. No, it was planned even before the foundation of the world. Well, in this prophecy we just read in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, there's some components to this prophecy. What specifically is Isaiah prophesying here? He is prophesying or saying that the announcer will be calling out in the wilderness. You know, that's that voice that it's calling. And he is, the message is to prepare a way, to prepare yourselves for the Lord, for this coming Messiah. That's what verses 4 and 5 mean. You know, let every valley be lifted up, mountain and hill be made low, let the rough ground become a plain. In other words, make the way. It's almost like if you can envision going out to a new area and carving in roads and, you know, just making a way for the Lord. And allegorically, we, or metaphorically, I should say, we are to prepare our hearts, our lives for this coming Messiah. Well, what was going on in world history during this time? In this time that we're coming into where we read about the birth of Christ. Well, during the time of Isaiah's prophecy that we just read, Rome, the city of Rome, was born. 753 BC. The first recorded Olympic Games happened about 50 years earlier than this prophecy in 776 BC. 200 years after Isaiah's prophecy, Buddha was born in India. And Confucius was born in China about the same time. And this was during this time that when Confucius and Buddha were born, Habakkuk was prophesying. Remember last week we read Habakkuk's prophecy. We're going to be reading from Malachi this morning as well. And during his prophecy, in the Middle East, Babylon falls to Persia. Babylon is in Iraq. We're all very familiar with Iraq now. It fell to Persia, which is modern-day Iran, in 539 BC. As the Persian Empire gained control, it gained control over Egypt. This was all happening during this Old Testament times when all these prophets are prophesying about the soon coming Messiah. Persian rulers during the time, you'll recognize some of these names. Remember Darius, King Darius. We read about him in Ezra and Nehemiah. Those were prophets as well. We read about King Darius and Daniel and Haggai. What about King Xerxes? He's the one that makes Esther queen. Remember the story of Esther? And what about Artaxerxes? He was in Ezra and Nehemiah as well. So all of this secular world history is happening at the same time of biblical history that we read about. But I think we separate it. I mean, we think about biblical history, but we just don't connect what's happening on in the rest of the world. And there were things historically that are happening, and schools do a great job of teaching historical secular history, but nothing about biblical history. So we never make that connection. And that's why I wanted to share a little bit of that this morning, because it kind of puts things in perspective for us. Turn now to Malachi 3:1. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Next slide. Malachi 3:1. Malachi is a great book. It's only four chapters long, but I think we'll be looking into it a little bit more after Christmas. Malachi 3:1. And this is a prophecy that's about 300 years after Isaiah. So Malachi was prophesying about 300 years after Isaiah, 200 years after Habakkuk, and Daniel and Jeremiah. Habakkuk, Daniel, and Jeremiah were all prophesying about the same time in the same century. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way. There's that word again. Clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the hosts, that's a phrase. And it's written elsewhere in the Bible, Lord of Sabaoth. And you can also translate as God of the angel armies. Lord of the hosts. We think during this time we have this Christmas season. Remember what happened right before Jesus was born in the manger? The angels were out there proclaiming that this Christ child was to be born this day in the city of David. God is the Lord of all the angelic hosts, as well as us. Well, what are the components in this prophecy? One, that the Lord will come to God's temple. The Lord will come to God's temple, both then and in the future. He's going to return again. Christ is going to return again and will come back to Jerusalem. And the second component of this is the Messiah is both the mediator of the covenant and he's the messenger of the covenant. So we say, no one can come unto the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the mediator between us and God, us and the Father. He is the one that redeems us, buys us back to the Father. But do you realize he also carried that message? Basically, he is the message. He is the covenant. He carried that to the earth and proclaimed it. Isn't that amazing? I'm just blown away when I think about that. He's both the mediator and the messenger of the covenant. You know, the word Malachi, the name Malachi means messenger. And what are angels? Messengers. They are ministering spirits for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. That's in Hebrews. Well, the Jews had been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Their entire thinking, their entire life, their entire community, in a sense, was living in the future. They were always looking ahead to this event that was to come. And some, when Jesus did come, you know, it says that his own accepted him not. He came as a Jew. He was born a Jew. And many of the Jews did not accept him. Their whole community is waiting for this Messiah to come. And yet when he comes, they don't accept him. So in a sense, they're still living in the future. They refuse to acknowledge that the future had arrived, that the kingdom was near. And before we get too tough on the Jews, we must ask ourselves, are we living in the same way? Are we living in the future or are we living in the present? We have this bad habit of saying, well, as soon as this happens, then. If this will happen, then. When this happens, I will. And yet God has given us everything we need. He has assigned us things to do. And no matter what we do, just as Adrian was lamenting earlier in her testimony, God is right on time all the time. He's not going to be early. Jesus is not going to return early. And he's not going to return late. It's going to be right on time. And if that's the case, what do we need to be doing? We need to be living in the present. Sometimes when you're living in the future, you forget to do the things in the present. You know, if you struggle with that, you might understand that. You're always living, saying, I will be satisfied, I will be happy in the future when this happens. And you forget to live in the present. Why not? I'm happy now. I'm happy today. I'm blessed today. You know, maybe the problem is if we continue to live in the future, we'll miss the present when it arrives. We'll miss that future when it arrives today. We'll miss it because we're still living in the future. That becomes a way of life. Well, we live in the future in an extent as Christians because what are we doing? We're looking ahead to the second coming of Christ, aren't we? So there is always that. But it's not something that we do at the exclusion of living in the present today. We are told to look up, to be ready. We are to live ready for Christ to return because it could happen tomorrow. It could happen this afternoon before the football game. So we are to be prepared. We are to be looking, but we're not to do it as an escape for living today. We can, living in the future, you can use it as an escape to avoid what God is telling you to do today. That person that needs that help today. Oh, I can't. I'm busy looking to the future. I'm busy waiting for this thing to happen. Then I'll help you. Well, John the Baptist was born a few, maybe even 6 months earlier than Jesus. And they were cousins. And he began his ministry calling out of the wilderness. He was that voice in the wilderness that we just read in Isaiah 40. He began his wilderness before, shortly before Jesus came to the Jordan River when John the Baptist was out baptizing people. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was essentially saying, "Here he is. This is the Lamb of God that we've all waited for." But John was also announcing the very arrival of the new covenant. This, the very judgment that Habakkuk had been praying for. But this judgment would happen in a unique way. And it would happen in God's timing. Remember last week, Habakkuk's prayer was, "In your wrath, Lord, remember mercy." You know, God says what he's going to do, and then he does it. But no matter what he does and how he does it, there is always mercy involved. God's wrath is not without mercy. Well, this prophecy that John the Baptist ushered in, this prophecy that Habakkuk and all of these other prophets, Malachi, Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, were prophesying that this Messiah would come, has begun this long playing out of God's judgment. God sent his son who brought the new covenant and the good news. The good news is, in faith, we can receive eternal life with God. We can receive a life of all the things that have been prophesied in the Old Testament, the things that the way heaven's going to be. We can receive that. And it began as Jesus ushered in this new covenant. Things changed. The way that we approach God changed. We no longer had to go through a priest. We can go directly. Jesus is our high priest. We go directly to him. We go directly before his throne. And we go with confidence because we know we are his children. Well, the prophecy that Christ would be the mediator as well as the messenger of the covenant had begun. It is happening now. And it will happen in the future. It's happening now because we can all go to Christ with our needs, our cares, our requests. We can abide in him and him in us today. We can receive forgiveness today. And we can see others receive forgiveness today. But this covenant has not yet ended. It's going to end when Jesus returns. The final judgment will be begun when Jesus returns. And then after the 1,000 years is the second judgment. So you see, we're living in this time span that all the Old Testament prophets prayed for. It was ushered in with the birth of Christ. You get that? I mean, hopefully that helps you realize the benefit, the greatness of the time that we are living in today. The Jews, for all of this history before Christ, all they could do was live with the promise that Christ was going to come. But we are living during the time of the promise. How much more blessed are we? Are you still in Malachi? Well, no, let's turn to Matthew 3. Let's look at John the Baptist's ministry here. Matthew 3, 1 through 12. One of our traditional Christmas stories that we read. Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." That's what we just read out of Isaiah 40. And Matthew is writing down, identifying John the Baptist as the one that was prophesied as that voice that was going to be coming that would be crying out in the wilderness. Verse 4. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." That was John the Baptist's message. He was out preaching this in the Jordan River, in the wilderness of Judea, and people would come out to hear this message. And he was announcing that Christ, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, is coming. He's near. Get ready. Make way. Back to Malachi. Just first book to your left, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. This is a prophecy of Elijah to come again before the day of the Lord. Days of Elijah. It says in verse 5, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." You know, John the Baptist had a commission from heaven and not of men. I think we can see that because this is not a pleasant message. This is not a feel-good message unless you're in the Spirit and appreciate what's going on. John the Baptist is Christ's harbinger. Have you heard that word recently, harbinger? Let us look at Luke 1, 13 through 17. Luke 1, 13 through 17. It says, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord, their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So you see, John the Baptist, as a forerunner of Christ, his message, the purpose of his message was to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children's hearts back to the Lord. You know, this is a message for today, isn't it? If we were to be honest, if we look around our society, our communities, our nation, our state, we can easily see how our American people are living and behaving just the same way as the Jews were at that time. Pardon me? Well, of course, but not just Hollywood. I mean, honestly, so much of the country, even in our own community, we see this. That, you remember in 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy." In other words, self-love and covetousness, yeah, were the prevalent sins back then, and they are now. It's come full circle. We have arrived back at the same point as society was before Christ came the first time. What does that say to us about Christ coming the second time? It could be very near. And we have the same message that John the Baptist has. We have the same message as Habakkuk, Malachi, Micah, Isaiah. That is our message today, even though it was prophesied back then, it's our message today. You know, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, what is that meaning? Why would Scripture be saying that back then in the old time prophecies? What was happening where that would be God's message to the people? And what was happening when John the Baptist was saying the same thing? He was quoting the same thing. And here's what he means by that. Back then, as we see today as well, fathers were not raising up their children to be godly offspring. They were neglecting their spiritual leadership in their family. They were neglecting the teaching. And what was happening? The children were growing up and they were being adults that would go out and worship idols. They would profane God's word. They were doing all of these things that they had, their society was falling apart because of that. And I say it rests on us fathers. This is the duty that God gives us fathers. We are kind of the hinge, if you will, of help holding society together, holding families together. So it is our job as fathers, as men, to make sure that we have our hearts turned towards our children, where we are loving them. As Jim was saying, where we're spending time with them and we are teaching them the things of the Lord. Over the last 4 or 5 decades, men have abrogated that duty to the moms. Have we not? And we have to take a conscious effort to take or carry out our God-given responsibility. And the children in the same way need to turn their hearts back to the fathers, to love their father, to be obedient. And this also has a connection for us as children of God. We too, all of us are His children. We need to turn our hearts back to Him and be obedient.
Amen.
What
kind of, you know, head of household are
you going to be? Oh, that's good. Yes. And this is God's word. I mean, it was true then. It's an issue now. And we don't need to take it as a judgment, so to speak, but rather let us be aware. Let us be motivated. Let us say, "Yes, Lord," and get out and try to carry this out and live it out the best we can. So finally, what do we learn out of these prophecies that we read today? What do we learn out of recognizing that John the Baptist was a forerunner and he was announcing Christ's first advent? And I would say that we too are forerunners. We too are messengers. We are the forerunners and messengers of the Christ's second coming. So we have an opportunity and we have a calling from God to share the story of Christ. And what's great about Christmas is it gives us an opportunity to do that with people, because it's on everybody's mind. It's in their daily schedule. So here's an opportunity for us to turn their hearts as sons and daughters of God back to the Father. You know, John the Baptist was born in a miraculous way. Jesus was, right? His father was the Holy Spirit, Mother Mary. But John the Baptist was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were old, old, old. They were past childbearing age. She was barren. She never had any children. And yet, the angel came and said, "Behold, you're going to have a son." So he was born in a miraculous way. But we too, as sons and daughters of God, have been born in a miraculous way. We have been born again. We have been born into the kingdom of God, adopted into his family. So God uses messengers and he uses signs and wonders to announce what is going to happen. That the prophecy that was prophesied long ago, he has messengers and signs saying, "Here it is, it's coming, get ready, make way." And that's our message for this Christmas season in our own hearts. Make way. Let us prepare ourselves for this season. Let us begin to think maybe anew of Christ in this season. It is so easy. Adrian and I were just, I think I'm speaking for both of us, really struggling when we were talking over and planning the Christmas season, all of the Christmas events for the church this season we were spending with Pastor Kuhn and Pastor Daimai. And they were sharing what they do back home. And oh, do we feel bad. We are so embarrassed. Back home, in their homes, Christmas Day is all about getting together at the church and sharing food and worshiping God. And Adrian and I just struggle having to share with them, not here in America. In America, we're all about, you know, opening toys and playing on Christmas morning. We're not going to get anybody to come to church on Christmas morning. Sorry to say. But that's where we came up with the idea for the potluck at 4 o'clock, or 3 o'clock rather. Figured by then, everybody will be tired of playing and say, "Hey, let's go eat." Yeah. So it's an opportunity. Bring the wives and people that need a rest, and the kids by 3 o'clock are driving the parents nuts, aren't they? Give them some other kids to play with. Yeah. 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 We'll just gather here and we'll. Oh, we could arrange that.
Yeah. Oh, CJ will go in there and have every one of them plucked off, and you'll be out there killing it.